Good evening, this is Mae Brussel. The title of this one-hour broadcast is World Watchers. It's program 769. It's September the 1st, 1986. On the bibliography sheet that accompanies the tapes that go to regular subscribers, last week I put down the information about the National Security Council and the death of Mr. Fortier, F-O-R-T-I-E-R, but I didn't mention it on the broadcast, and I just wanted to go over that very quickly, and I'll get back to it later. He died at the age of 39 just last week. He had a quick liver cancer, a three-month cancer. I call that the Jack Ruby type, as against the lingering Martha Mitchell cancer, the long type. He was replaced by Alton G. Keel, Jr., and Keel's name came up. I'm sure you recognize it from the Rogers Commission. He was the executive director of the Roger Commission examining the Challenger. Now, it's interesting, his background is assistant in the Air Force. He was in charge of research for Ronald Reagan since 1981, and a great deal of the Star Wars, of course. He previously served in the Senate Armed Services Committee under John Tower, which I had mentioned on the sheet, written about on the sheet. John Tower is the fellow that gave the quick extradition, the ability of Marina Oswald to come to this country from Russia, and passed that over very quickly. This staunch anti-communist was getting her to the Dallas-Fort Worth area to create the alleged motivations for what would become a coup in Dallas later on. I'll do more on Tower's role. I'll update that. I haven't done that for a long time on the air. But the point is that this man who worked for John Tower has now worked himself up to be deputy of the National Security Agency. And if Ronald Reagan ordered the Challenger to launch on January the 28th. If those seven calls that have not been revealed, who made them and why, down to the launching at NASA, if they involved the orders that you've got to go, in addition to the fact that Ronald Reagan was going to start to talk about Christa McAuliffe in his speech that evening, his State of the Union speech, it would have to come from the highest above. It couldn't be even somebody like the White House Chief of Staff, Donald Reagan. It would have to be National Security Advisor. And people like Mr. Keel, of course, have left out of the commission investigation the role of the White House in possibly demanding the launch. And the result of this investigation for many, many months has been that they knew, they absolutely knew for a year that in cold weather it could not hold up, that probably the O-ring would not hold. And the order to launch it only benefited the military and the national security highest level, because this way they could throw out all the civilians in the space program, such as they were planning with the teacher in space and the journalist in space and so forth. They got rid of a junky shuttle system that wasn't working. They kicked the civilians out, and now Mr. Keel has been promoted to be the deputy director of the National Security Agency under Mr. Poindexter, and that's a very important position. And he fills that role after covering up the Rogers Commission hearings, and they're not demanding the White House tapes regarding this very pertinent event that took place, because they were bickering back and forth on whether to launch or not to launch. So that promotion is interesting in lieu of the fact that this three-month cancer took place and Mr. Fortier was replaced. I have said for a long, long time, as have many people in books and investigative work, that cancer is a disease, a weapon, just as AIDS has been created. Cancer has been a weapon identified in the laboratories, starting with the Rockefeller Institute years ago, their medical institute, and is a convenient way to unload particular people if you want to replace them with a certain person in their position. Well, so much for that. I'll get back to Fortier and the arrangement in the National Security Council, the changes that have been taking place later on other broadcasts. Now, by way of introduction, the longest introduction I've ever made on a program, the end line that I'm going to deal with, that I've been working on all week, is the explosion in Cameroon and the consequences of that and what I believe happened. It was described as a neutron bomb, and there's no reason to think it wasn't. And all of the experts combined over the world are very hush-hush about it, and there are many secrets, as usual, when these kinds of weapons get tested. So by way of just getting back to the milieu or the background of the neutron bomb, I just want to bring up a few subjects that have to do with the Defense Department, with secrecy, with experimentations on people, that have been going on and on. This isn't an exhaustive introduction. It's just a few samples. I just want to remind you of, in the book Spooks, Jim Hogan refers to the ABG, the American Volunteer Group, that were set up for American and political assassinations, and it involved the John Birch Society and General Edwin Walker, who brought people from Munich, Germany, for the assassination of John Kennedy. And it makes a full circle to people such as Robert K. Brown, a former Green Beret officer, closely linked to the Minutemen, to the private military mercenaries, to John Singlaub, now in Central America, where we're getting ready for an invasion of Nicaragua. The president has announced that it's just necessary to take the place over. The ABG group was set up following a few years after the announcement that the murder of John Birch in China, killed by the Chinese communists, and an obvious provocation I've talked about before in the air. John Birch was in the OSS, and when he was killed, it was described as the first shot of World War III. And then in the 1960s, the John Birch Society was setting up ABG Group, in addition to other assassination groups such as Operation Condor, and was setting up with the Permandex organization to kill heads of states. Now, last week I referred to a reference that Walter Dornberger gave in New York. It was in the New York Times, June the 8th, 1958, where he came to this country from Nazi Germany. He was a war criminal from Peenemünde, and he stated clearly this time, America will fight with Germans against the Soviet Union. We didn't come to this country to lose the Third War. He came here for the purpose of winning World War III. So from the minute the war was over, the first shots of World War III were identified in Asia, in China, in Dallas. We had the coup when John Kennedy was murdered. These same people were involved with that. Mr. Dornberger was speaking about World War III in 1958. In 1946, and I cited this on the air when I was talking about advanced genetic sciences, there was an article in the New York Times, January 13th, of bacterial warfare and atomic bombs, and suggestions on learning how to protect yourselves in the future. We've had about 42 years to get ready to protect yourself from some of these things, and I wondered if any of this wasn't tested also in Cameroon. I hope to get to that immediately. And just this last week, Jeremy Denton from Alabama, the senator, had a motion to increase the war powers of President Reagan, and Denton is from Alabama, and it's Huntsville, Alabama, where Dornberger and von Braun and the Germans were brought, the Project Paperclip scientists, with the hope of World War III, and now the senator from Alabama is the man leading the suggestion that we give Ronald Reagan more war powers, and then, of course, there's been the suggestion that he remain on as president third term or however long it takes. Now, there are examples of White House lies that assist these war efforts, huge lies, and my entire 15 years, this is the 16th year on the air, has to do with these lies. But some of the most gross ones, if you can number them, gross, there was an article this past week in the San Jose Mercury titled, Embassy Bombers Known, U.S. Officials Hid Confessions. Now, this would take an entire broadcast. I'm just mentioning the title. It has to do with our knowing who killed the Marines in Lebanon in 1983, how they were never tried, only one was killed, the others are out free. We knew all along who did this act, and this is about the CIA and our own United States government covering up Americans that were murdered in Lebanon. So 63 dead doesn't mean a thing to our United States intelligence, and they had no intention of pursuing him. The other factor that would take 52 weeks if I had a whole year is AIDS, and I want to keep doing more, and every week I touch on it a little. There's an article in the Examiner, September the 2nd, 1986, titled, Deadly New Murder Weapon, AIDS. And then on television last night, CBS News, there was Dr. Vernon Mark. You've heard me talk about him in regards to mind control. He was on the evening news at 6 o'clock. Talking about AIDS and saying every person with AIDS should be isolated. And considering that AIDS could be a genocidal, selective disease to wipe out certain segments of our population is very important to remember Dr. Vernon Mark. I've used his name at least 150 times in the last 15 years. He's the fellow that did the brain surgery at Boston Hospital on Mr. Leonard Keeley, termed the Terminal Man. There was a book about him. And I'll do more about this broadcast where he gets in from psychosurgery and brain surgery into the AIDS controversy and the implications of Mr. Vernon Mark jumping into the muddy waters at this time. Again, leading to World War III in manipulating our minds and then his jumping over to the physical and to the AIDS. And another article in the LA Herald last week, trying to reach out to the world's tortured. UCLA psychiatrist wants $280,000 to start a facility. Of course, it's Dr. Jolyon West from UCLA, Jack Ruby's psychiatrist, a psychiatrist who wants to go into torture. He's been linked through the years to wanting to put secret electrode implants into people to continue torturous experimentations on the brain. And he worked with Ronald Reagan as governor and Edwin Meese as legal advisor when they were in Sacramento. And now he wants to take the world's tortured, and I'm sure they can rearrange through hypnosis who tortured them and what happened, and the guilty countries would get off or not be charged, and they would teach these victims of torture to simply forget. There's another long article I want to update on. Russia accuses the U.S. Pentagon of inventing AIDS. And these are, as I say, the secrets, the Pentagon secrets of disease, of mind control, of assassinations, working in the laboratory, working on weapons, all the while to make human beings the victim of terrible things. And all of these various articles coordinate to certain monster head in Washington, D.C., and the legs of an octopus spreading out in the news. And I'm just citing some of these news articles. Another one from Wall Street Journal, an editorial, August 25th, Genetic Warfare. And it talks about biological and chemical weapons being put aside for a few years, which wasn't true. Actually, they were kept. And I do keep saying I want to update that. When Nixon said he would destroy them, they weren't destroyed at all. But now they're referring to the research and work of Mr. Feith, who had a long article in the Washington Post, saying we can now take the bacteriological weapons and the toxins and combine them like with designer drugs and get into genetic engineering, and then we really do have a good warfare weapon. So genetic engineering as a means of control, and again, that's what I was worried about with advanced genetic sciences, with their links to DuPont, and Roman Haas and I.G. Farben, that this was the beginning of bacteriological warfare, genetic warfare in the farm fields and in the food produce around our country, testing it out. And this editorial, as I say, is a follow-up on a long article in the Washington Post on weapons, genetic weapons, and rethinking our attitude about them because they're very useful. And the article says because of the advance we've made in genetics, we may rethink our warfare weapons and go into genetics combined, biological weapons and genetics being merged would be very advantageous to us. This comes at a time when the Senate passed a bill on chemical warfare, rather, not the biological, but increasing the chemical weapons. And George Bush made sure to be there to break the tie. The House, so far, representatives has held it down and said no. But George Bush's intentions were, yes, I want the chemical weapons by all means, and that's our vice president sitting there waiting to become president someday. Now, there are other puzzles and disgusting incidences that are no mysteries that link to our Pentagon. There was an article, just San Francisco Chronicle yesterday, Puzzle of the Monster Earth Cookie, and this has to do with large hunks of earth, 7 by 10 feet, that weigh more than 1.5 tons, that are removed from circles, and it's up in Washington, the state of Washington, and there are large letters that describe these mysteries. It says there are a growing number of theories, from a clandestine Defense Department operations to tiny black holets colliding with the planet, but they can't explain this enormous change of the Earth in this particular area, and again, they are questioning clandestine Defense Department operations. Now, the Defense Department and the Atomic Energy, of course, keep many secrets. We can't even spend a lifetime going into all their major secrets, I don't suppose. But another article in the San Francisco Chronicle and on the wire service this week, how the crewmen of the Air Force bomber accidentally dropped a hydrogen bomb on New Mexico 29 years ago. And this was kept secret. This was May 22nd, 1957. It didn't go off. There was no nuclear blast, but non-nuclear explosives were in the bomb that detonated and hit the ground. And, of course, it hit an area where if anybody would recognize what it was well concealed and lied about. It was confirmed in 1981 that this happened, but no details were released. And the fact is that these bombs can go off in general populations. And when they're testing them and carrying them, and they drop, we're not told about it for many years later. This is a long time, from 1957 to 1964. Now, there was a reunion in Berkeley just a week or two ago of victims of Operation Crossroads, the Bikini Island Lagoon. And the area has been described in some new books that have come out. One book is called No Place to Hide, and it's about atomic veterans fighting for their rights. And it tells that in July of 1946, 42,000 human guinea pigs were exposed to atomic bombs. From 1942 to 1967, 250,000 GIs were subject to 235 atomic tests. And in this one article, No Place to Hide, it tells that the testing stopped in 1962, but it doesn't give credit to John Kennedy, who literally risked his life in having the nuclear test ban treaty. In fact, I have one short article saying that the reason John Kennedy was murdered was that he bucked up against the Pentagon and forbid them from testing this or testing our people anymore with this kind of horrible accident, which has caused many, many cancers since. And the amount of cancers is what is concealed. And even though the American people could read about tests, and I'm sure they read them, just as they read about Cameroon now, but they're not making connections of what could portend operations of this kind for World War III. Now that the tests have been made, they're making tests of other kinds of weapons and putting all of this under the rug. Now, there was a large article in these times that a listener sent to me, September the 2nd, 1986, by Peter Dale Scott. And this is called The Department of Energy Plugs the Leak on Radiation Leaks. And this is a long article. Every word is important, and I'll do the details for you possibly next week or the week after. And this tells about this huge leak that was done in Nevada, in Las Vegas, Nevada, that took place April 28th to 30th, and they were forced to release atomic gases into the air. And the Chernobyl disaster occurred April 26th, so that some of the radiation and subsequent fallout could be from what is called Mighty Oak in Vegas, and not Chernobyl. And then the article goes on to refer to the West German radiation from a separate reactor disaster, May the 4th, and outside of my covering it on World Watchers and seeing it in just one or two papers, it has been concealed, and the effects of millions of murders by chemical, and I call them murders, by chemical cancer being caused. The Energy Department is blaming the Soviet Union for all of these leaks. This author, Peter Dale Scott, is one of the most renowned researchers who's written about the concealing of a $70 million atomic accident right here in our own backyard in Las Vegas. And the person who supplied the information for him is Preston Truman, who is one of my favorite researchers, a longtime friend, and I'm always indebted to him. He's the one who got me the William Colby report, the CIA report on Mullen Associates, and provided me other documents and research. And I think this is the first time Preston's name has been published, so a lot of people who help me in the research and give me a lot of material and send it to me, I don't put their name on unless they're publicly recognized, because many of them want to stay unidentified to continue their work without being hassled. And the reason Preston is so knowledgeable about this radiation leak in Nevada is he's been in the forefront of trying to expose the chemical radiations from Dugway, Utah, years ago, that are just again surfacing. And again, more links to Jonestown, where the sheep died, and Dr. Lawrence Layton was the military man in charge of the testing grounds, where they said it wasn't the radiation, the sheep just laid down and died and their skin fell off. And now the people and the families all around them that had the sheep are dying. And those were big secrets that weren't secrets that we could have acted on again. And that's why I say the Cameroon blast is so important, because we let these opportunities pass and they keep adding up. and you can go on and on about secrets that really aren't secrets. Now, there's a book called Justice Downward, America's Atomic Testing Program in the 1950s. It's written by Howard Ball. It's about the testing from 1951 to 1963, how the United States government detonated atomic bombs in the Nevada desert, and how it went down into the homes of 100,000 people, the Mormons in Utah, and how it affected their lives. That is a new book. Another book that came out in 1984 that is excellent, short book called The Day We Bombed Utah by John G. Fuller. It's published by Signet Press. It came out in 1984. And this book tells about the group around John Wayne that made the movie The Conqueror in Utah. And all four of the superstars died. John Wayne, Susan Hayward, Dick Powell, and Agnes Moorehead all died of cancer. And nearly 100 members of the cast and crew contracted cancer. Half of them have died from making this movie. And this book is about the sheep and the droppings and how the atmosphere changed and how bombs were shot out. And it also describes that these atomic bombs were detonated from tall metal towers, and others were dropped from planes. And I bring this up because I believe that a plane could drop that neutron bomb into the lake that caused the reaction that killed over 1,200 people in Cameroon. And I'll go back into the stirring of the lake. And in Utah, we're right in our own country, in Nevada and Utah, they were dropping from plane those things that have caused thousands of deaths so far, and maybe there'll be many, many more. I will go into The Day We Bombed Utah again. Each one of these subjects could be a long broadcast, but I want to skip them over, just give you titles of books and articles to show you the milieu that I'm just coming across in the last few weeks across my desk as I'm cutting out articles about Cameroon. One chapter from that book, Justice Downward, is called They Lied to Us, and there's a reprint of that chapter. It was in the San Francisco Chronicle magazine section, August 31st, 1986, just yesterday, and it begins, after a 20-year battle, neighbors of the A-bomb are still fighting the government. And the point is, they're calling these things, they lied to us. That's why I said and began the program by saying that there's such important secrets, such as the embassy bombing in Lebanon, the Korean airline, the motives, and what really happened, the Grenada invasion, the Grenada Medical Hospital, the Howard Hughes story and his links to the Defense Department and Mullen Associates, and the people testing in Nevada that caused these cancers and deaths and are still leaking. It isn't a thing of the past. They were leaking their radiation this June, and it's probably still going. And the Jonestown secrets that have been locked up by the CIA and Defense Department, and the assassinations, those are secrets and lies, outright lies of what happened. And as I say, one chapter here that is quoted in just a section of this book, The Justice Downward, says they lied to us. Now, all of these people have something to do with chemical, atomic, bacteriological warfare, and they have lied to us, and they're causing so many deaths. The San Jose Mercury had an article this past weekend, August 30th, 1986. The trial of Larry Layton is about to begin. This is his third trial. He's had two other trials. He's not charged with the murder to kill Leo Ryan. Heavens forbid that somebody would kill Leo Ryan, who was stopping the CIA covert actions in Angola and was embarrassing our CIA and prohibiting that. He's been charged with accidents and shootouts involving the shooting of Leo Ryan, but not the actual shooting of Leo Ryan. That test will begin soon. Now, in this article in San Jose Mercury, and again, I'll get back to this along with these others, they said Larry Layton cited the extensive publicity about the case and the witness's loss of memory through a passage of time, and in some cases, psychiatric therapy helped them forget the Jonestown events. Now, that's what the Psychological Institute of Jolly West will do at UCLA with torture. They'll forget who tortured them in the process of forgetting what hurt. And that's what I talked about William Rehnquist being under psychiatric drugs from 1972 until 1981 so that he would forget his role in the police state operations under Richard Nixon and through the time period of Watergate. And this article says that there have been psychiatrists who have been using the therapy so they forget the whole thing. And the whole thing, the whole purpose of forgetting it, is not to be able to finger the people who did it. Now, the operations going on in Africa, just briefly, and I'm sure many of you, most of you take World Watchers, read your papers, maybe not as many as I have. I'm just going to run down for you a few things that are happening in Africa right now to set the milieu for the Cameroon explosion that killed so many people, which was described as a neutron bomb. And for all purposes, from reading as much as I can just this one week, it certainly does appear like a test of the neutron bomb. In the first place, millions of people are dying from AIDS. I had on my broadcast last week the United States government working secretly with Belgian doctors, top secret. Nobody can talk about what's going on in Zaire. There's AIDS in Zaire, Uganda, and the central part of Belgium. AIDS is very, very dangerous in Africa, and heterosexuals are dying of AIDS, maybe as many as 5 to 10 million right now. The second article I just want to cite is World Vision given $400,000 to relief in Chad. LA Times had a story January the 11th this year describing World Vision as a Christian front, and I've talked about them as recipients of CIA money in Cambodia, in Central America, and the family of John Hinckley are very close and were affiliated, and probably still are, with World Vision. They also are very close to former CIA Director George Bush. And the reason for World Vision being down there in Chad is because of the drought. And Chad is a country that their name comes up right now because of the interest of Gaddafi and his friendship with Chad. And we're trying to move the Libyans out of Chad. So World Vision is in Chad. Another article, scientists respond to charge he killed Dr. Fauci in Rwanda, San Jose Mercury, this past week. He said United States officials wanted her out, that Rwanda is a key listening post for the United States. They want information for nearby African countries, and that's why they had her killed. Another article, locust swarm threaten Africa, San Francisco Chronicle, August the 4th. The countries mainly hardest hit are Chad, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Mali. Now, Chad, Sudan, and Ethiopia are reasonably non-aligned. They are a pain in the neck to the Western military and our Pentagon, and those seem to be the countries that are getting the locusts, and Chad borders on Cameroon, the location of the possible neutron bomb testing, and we're talking about bombing the Libyan section of Sudan, so those countries are in the news in terms of Gaddafi and also close to Cameroon. Another article, Contra Aid blamed for relief freeze. This is an article, San Francisco Chronicle, July the 11th, money raised to feed people in Ethiopia is being sent to Nicaragua to the Contras. Ethiopia, again, targeted with locusts, insects, and grasshoppers. Ethiopian money going to the Contras. It was raised for Ethiopia. Another article, starvation, musicians' relief fills the gap. And it tells about the Band-Aid, the World Aid music concert, how much they helped Africa. And because of their being so good, there are only 50 million people starving there today. San Jose Mercury, July the 7th. Another article, behind the Israeli-Morocco meeting, I just talked about briefly last week, from People's World, this is August 23rd, the meeting of Prime Minister Shimon Peres meets with Morocco's King Hassan. And then 5 days later, an article from the Monterey Herald, King Hassan abrogates 1984 treaty with Libya. Israel flies to Morocco, Peres goes to Morocco, and they have their meeting. 5 days later, King Hassan breaks his treaty with Libya. Then, following that, a few days later, Peres' visit to Cameroon underscores Israeli gains. He's first gone over to Morocco, and they're getting ready for the heated-up war against Libya. Now, Shimon Peres, goes to Cameroon simultaneously with the time that this strange, described as neutron bomb, goes off in a lake and kills about 1,300 or more people. He goes to Cameroon, and that was August 26th. He started his visit August 25th. Then the headline, Volcanic Lake Fume Kills 2,000 in Cameroon, San Francisco Examiner and National Wire Services. And on the same page of that paper, it says Peres in Cameroon at the time this bomb, described as what looked like a neutron bomb, goes off in a lake. He's being entertained with a 10-mile parade from the airport to the president's palace. I'm going to take a one-minute break now and then go into the subject of Cameroon and just have a few more items to discuss with you about what is happening in Africa at this time. And, of course, the United States ambassador from the UN, Mr. Vernon Walter, a roving killer, who sort of replaced the visible Henry Kissinger, always behind the scenes. And Walters, a Knight of Malta from the Vatican, is trying to coax our allies to put pressure upon Mr. Gaddafi in Libya and really to escalate the war in the Mediterranean, have a staging place later for our war against the Soviet Union. That was the goal of Mr. Dornberger, Walter Dornberger, when he came to this country. We're getting closer to it. His advisors and helpers were all Knights of Malta. The president of Cameroon is a Catholic, and the Pope was there in 1985, just a year ago. We'll do a little bit more on that and continue with specifically Cameroon for the next 30 minutes.